Welcome to the Voices.Earth podcast series. Today we're speaking with Jan Renner, the founder of Roaring.Earth, which is a site that provides unique and thought-provoking images and stories about the natural world and much more. And Jan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's great to have you. And let's start from the top. Tell us about Roaring.Earth, the organization's mission, how long you've been around, all that good stuff.
Yeah, great. So we launched Roaring Earth late last year after testing out different types of wildlife science and nature content on Facebook and YouTube. Just really wanted to see how high and engaged the audience was and is for this type of content. And it was really eye-opening. Just targeting the broadest possible audience on Facebook with some test content in the science and nature and wildlife realm, and the engagement and the response was off the charts. So a month or two later, we launched Roaring Earth. We acquired the domain roaring.earth, drawn to it for the same reasons you are, and as you're talking about on this podcast, is celebrate the earth. The earth is our domain, and it's roaring at us on many levels. And then ultimately, we do also own roaringearth.com, but we decided that we were going to stick with the .earth domain because it really presents a strong message, and our audience really has responded to it. So the property launched in October of last year, mainly focused on mobile. We wanted to create a publishing brand that is mainly known for its mobile functionality. And so all the content we create and distribute is built on top of a platform that we customized, and it's totally optimized to be seen on your phone. It's short video clips, images, short stories, bits, bytes, and bursts of wildlife, nature, and science content, but in a way that's compelling enough that it's going to get shared, and hopefully it's going to lead to a deeper engagement. And ultimately, our goal is to start creating longer form content. But for now, we're mainly focused on short pieces of content that are consumed on the phone and designed to be inspiring and shared. And then what we do is we test every piece of content before we launch it on Facebook. We have a team of data analysts, and we are just finding more and more interesting data supporting the idea that there's just a bigger and bigger audience for this type of content.
That's fantastic. And this plays perfectly into my next question, because there does seem to be a rising interest in content regarding the natural world. Like, scratching the surface, why do you think that is? I mean, the world's a little crazy these days, lots of climate change challenges. We have a presidential administration that's not very pro-environment, to say the least. And yet you all are seeing, a huge kind of uptick or a huge interest in your content. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's interesting. We first started developing this, it was before the election, and it's everything's definitely accelerated since then. But it was traditional media companies like the BBC have just seen explosive ratings for their Planet Earth, the second coming of Planet Earth. You saw Fox buying National Geographic, social media phenomenons like I Love Science, and best-selling book celebs like Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye. It just seems that this wildlife, the science nature genre has really broadened and grown. Where it was, I think, very much a distinct niche in a way, it's really kind of elevated beyond that. And we're seeing just extraordinary engagement, debate, interaction. When we first started promoting our content on Facebook, we would target the science and nature audiences. Broadened it to now we just target the mass Facebook audience in the U.S. and around the world, and the engagement level is as high as if we just targeted wildlife enthusiasts as designated that way. So I just think it's just growing at every level. It's out there, and people are sensing that this is something they need to pay attention to, and they're debating it, and they're inspired by the stories, and they're interested in ways they can help and understand it, and it's just Yes, and it's definitely accelerated since the election. There's no doubt about that. So we see it only getting bigger and becoming an even bigger content vertical. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah, you know, it is really exciting. And you know, let's switch real quick here and talk about your all's use of the .earth domain name. What made you all decide to move in that direction? And I know we talked briefly about this before the recording. So, tell us a little bit more about your use of the .earth domain.
Yeah, because I do think it portends a kind of a cool trend in the digital media landscape that we identified the name Roaring Earth as a brand that we could really build and expand upon because, as I said earlier, it's a great name. The Earth is roaring, and I think people respond to that. And RoaringEarth.com wasn't available. So we then noticed we could get Roaring.Earth, and we're inspired by that even more. And eventually we were able to get RoaringEarth.com, but we stuck with the .earth, and I think it's a branding exercise for us, and it's there's a lot we can do and a lot we can build around this new domain. The Earth is our domain. We share it. We represent it. We it goes well beyond a .com, and that now Roaring.Earth is now a kind of a holistic brand experience, and there's so many offshoots of that, and we're just really excited about it. We were thrilled when you guys reached out to us. You know, it's not without its challenges. When you do use a domain like this, a vanity URL, like there's issues. For instance, ComScore, one of the big rating and ranking services, didn't recognize .earth. So we had all this traffic we had generated the first few months after we launched in October, millions of page views, and it's only grown since then. And none of our traffic was being recognized by ComScore, which is the way the ad agencies and brands and marketers evaluate the value and impact of different digital properties. So we took some wrestling and going back and forth with them, and that's around February. Roaring.Earth is now fully monitored, evaluated, measured by ComScore, as are any other .earth domains. And it appears so there's going to be there's some challenges around that in getting the ad community. There's still some other some certain ad networks and brands when they're researching properties and they see it's a .earth. Sometimes not all the data that supports that brand is there. So hopefully together with what the work you guys are doing and what we're doing, we can, you know, continue to elevate it out there beyond just a vanity URL into a very kind of premium media property.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's definitely kind of the overall strategy here. You know, I think in terms of these new top level domains, and appreciate those insights, the opportunities and challenges. And it sounds like it was a challenge that you all successfully overcame. And then, you know, speaking of, I guess, overcoming things or successes, what is your future vision for Roaring Earth?
We just, you know, we're thrilled that we're already Alexa, a top 2000 site global property, and we're just expanding and working with conservation organizations and tour operators and anyone around the world that has a story to tell. We've created this a really functional platform for them to be able to upload their content or share the content with us, and we can help them develop it and elevate it. And so I think we just, the future for us is that we become a well-known brand, a well-known place for wildlife science and nature content, whether it's something that you shot in your own backyard or on a safari or on a vacation, or a legendary piece of footage from the BBC archive, you can find it here on Roaring Earth. And to become a home base for every type of wildlife science and nature piece of content.
That's great. That's great. You know, Jan, really appreciate your time today, and sounds like you guys are doing awesome work there with Roaring Earth, and it was great to get your insights. But before we sign off, anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
Yeah. If you're a conservation organization, a nonprofit that has great content, we work with dozens and dozens of conservation organizations to spread the good work that they're doing. Many times they're sitting with amazing pieces of video content and imagery that they have nobody's really getting a chance to see and enjoy, and that is presenting a really important message. We'll work with your organization, take that piece of content and elevate it, promote it on Facebook and promote it through our other social media channels. So we want to be really known as a place that takes all the work that's being done around the world to protect wildlife and to protect our roaring earth and provide a platform for those messages to be amplified and elevated using what we've built, which is a very sophisticated media back end and promotion platform. And it doesn't matter if it's a 15, 20 second clip that's shot on your iPhone or a photo or an amazing story you have to tell that celebrates and promotes and presents a message of conservation, we can find a way to kind of package that story in a really compelling and interesting way.
That's awesome. What a perfect way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Jan Renner, the founder of Roaring Earth, which, as we mentioned, is a site that provides very unique and very thought-provoking images and stories about the natural world and much more. And Jan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.